It is being separated at the recycling plants.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would urge people to take a look at the side of their recycling bins and see what is truly recyclable, because those folks are really having to sort through a lot of stuff that isn't recyclable.
Like,
excellent point.
Yeah. Like what? What are you talking
about? Well, like the quart milk containers, the waxed paper, those aren't recyclable. The clamshell containers that food from restaurants comes in.
Yeah.
You can't recycle those, unfortunately. Most yogurt cups, you can't. So people should take a look at those guidelines.
There have been a number of cities around the country that have prohibited the use of the plastic bags anymore from grocery stores. Do you see any sort of movement like that in Charlotte, North Carolina?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I just wrote a column about this in the Charlotte Observer.
I thought I remembered something.
Yes, in fact, all over the world, there's been a big movement to that, and I think the grocery stores are really hesitant to discontinue the use of plastic bags because they don't want people to go to paper. Paper is so much more expensive for them, and the solution to this is not paper or plastic. It is to bring your own bags to the grocery store. It is not hard to remember. You put them in your car. There are all kinds of ones. You can get the ones at Harris Teeter. Mm-hmm. They're 99 cents. You know, just remember it. It's easy.
The reusable concept.
Yes.
I mean, reusable resources. Tell us, Lisa, some of the other things that you've done to the house. We've concentrated an awful lot about water conservation, but tell us some of the other things that you have at your home in Cotswold.
Well, for flooring choices, we have floors that are made from bamboo, which is a sustainable resource, very quick growing grass, and, you know, it looks like just a regular hardwood floor. We also have some cork floors, which is another sustainable source. We used low or no VOC paints on all the walls.
VOC.
VOC is a volatile organic compound, and that's a new car smell or a new carpet smell. After Katrina, you hear about these trailers that are being condemned because of formaldehyde.
A lot
of that, those kind of things, particle board has formaldehyde in it. So you want to look for green materials when you're doing your renovation or looking for new things like that. People who are interested in this can go to this Charlotte Clean and Green event and find out, you know, very basic renovation principles, but also more complex. We added extra insulation. We also added these devices called Sola tubes, which were inexpensive. We had a very dark hallway, and it's kind of a guided skylight that it looks like a light from the ceiling, but it has a connection to a tube that directs the sunlight. And so we don't have to use lights in that hallway during the day at all.
You have low flow toilets, one dual flush toilet.
Yes.
We talked about your cistern.
Yes. And I would really encourage people, if they have given up on the low flow toilets, I know they have a bad name. A lot of people had trouble with them. They have greatly improved. We used a toilet from Australia, a company called Caroma, and it has a dual flush option, so it'll flush a 0.8 gallon or a 1.6 gallon, depending on what you need. So, I mean, that's just really impressive.
As opposed to 2.5 gallon, which I think is sort of the norm.
Right.
And you also have solar panels.
We do, and that's, you know, that's a kind of an extreme example that's not going to be suitable for everyone. Our solar panels provide about 40% of our power. If people are interested in solar, I would encourage them to look at solar hot water heaters. That is a very quick way to regain your investment, still get a tax break. Sterling, maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
Sterling, in fact,
sure.
Before you jump in, you are going to conduct a seminar on the Clean and Green Weekend about $100 worth of some steps that you can take at your home to make it much more energy efficient.
That's correct. The class is very cleverly called Energy 101, and I will have a box of $101 worth of supplies from a local hardware store that you can use to address energy consumption in your home. The solar tax credits that Lisa is mentioning are both federal and state incentives.
Wow.
If listeners want more information about that, probably the best source for information is the database of state incentives for renewable energy. It's actually run out of the North Carolina Solar Center right here in North Carolina, but it's a national database. It's www.dsireusa.org. There are also federal incentives for efficiency as well, too. But in our work with commercial clients, we found with the state and federal tax credits as well as some depreciation bonuses that are available for solar equipment, you can recover around 70% of the cost of a commercial system and a residential system. You can recover either solar thermal or solar electric, depending on the size, between 25 and 50% of the cost of the system.
We're going to have
just through tax incentives.
Yeah. Did you like some of the things that Lisa was listing off there that she's done to her home?
Those are all great things, absolutely, and they're and a lot of the things that Lisa mentioned are things that you can do with an existing home as well too. You don't have to go out and buy a new home to do many of those things. And I would definitely agree with the comment about toilets. My parents had a first generation low flow, and it was terrible, but the one we have now is really quite excellent.
That's Sterling Bowen from Southern Energy Management. We're also joined by Lisa Zirkle, a green homeowner here in Charlotte, and Aaron Colbert from the Charlotte Mecklenburg Utilities Department. We're back with more in just a moment.
The voices of the nation.
He has the courage to stand by his convictions.
The voices of Charlotte.
Tell me what you're going to do about my health care without charging me another $300 a month to pay for it.
WFAE and NPR go beyond the sound bites to get to the campaign's core issues. You can depend on 90.7 WFAE, your source this election year.
I'm Lisa Mullins. A controversial Egyptian blogger is behind bars. His internet fans are campaigning for his release with an old-fashioned letter-writing campaign. They hope to flood his prison with mail to encourage him and send a message to prison guards.
If the guards realize that so many people are paying attention, they would realize that they can't get away with torturing him anymore.
Cyber activists turn to snail mail next time on The World. Tomorrow night at 7 on 90.7 WFAE.
It's 9:40. You're listening to Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE, broadcasting and digital HD radio. Good evening. Coming up at 10 tonight, News and Notes starts a new series on housing. Right now, there's a 71% increase over a year ago in foreclosures. News and Notes at 10 tonight. WFAE programming is funded by Charlotte Copy Data, celebrating 20 years of serving the Carolinas with office solutions from Konica, Minolta, Sharp, and Canon. Charlotte Copy Data, where our accent is on quality. On the web at charlottecopydata.com. And by Piedmont Plastic Surgery and Dermatology, offering cosmetic plastic surgery and dermatology services with board-certified doctors. In Charlotte, Gastonia, and Hickory, restoring beauty, restoring confidence. Details, ppsd.com. Rain likely in this evening's forecast, going down to the low 40s. Tomorrow, cloudy and warmer. Showers and thunderstorms are likely, though, with a high in the mid-70s. Saturday, still more showers and thunderstorms, a high near 70.
We are back on Charlotte Talks. I'm Chris Clackham sitting in for Mike Collins. We have Aaron Colbert with us today. She's with the Charlotte Mecklenburg Utilities Department. Lisa Zirkle is a green homeowner in the Cotswold area of Charlotte. And Sterling Bowen is an energy expert with Southern Energy Management. We're talking about going green at home in anticipation of the Clean and Green Weekend exposition, which is going to be held the weekend of April the 18th, 19th, and then on Monday the 21st, there's going to be a movie shown, a documentary about called Kilowatt Hours, I think it is. Sterling, I would like to get into the subject about CFLs, compact fluorescent lights, which is the new rage, which is everybody's talking about, how much energy it saves, how much longer they last. Give us your spiel.
That's
on
correct.
That.
There is I'll throw out another public sector website if that's okay. It's changealightnc.org. has information for listeners about compact fluorescent lamps. These are very similar to the fluorescent tubes that you have in office spaces. You may have some right over your head right now. The ones that screw into a lamp fixture at home or a typical incandescent bulb would normally have gone, have a ballast that comes with them. These lights or light bulbs use around 25% of the energy of an incandescent bulb. So, for example, you can replace a 60-watt incandescent bulb with around a 15-watt compact fluorescent lamp. Huh. And they can make a big difference.
And but
the average home... Go ahead.
I was only going to raise the... Well, go ahead and make your point, though, about the average home can save how much?
The typical home uses... somewhere between 8% and 10% of its electricity to heat up, not to heat up, but to power incandescent light. So it is something that can make a big difference. Go ahead.
There is the issue though that is suddenly cropped up about the whole thing about how do you dispose of a CFL, of a compact fluorescent lamp? How do you dispose of that bulb?
That's correct. Compact fluorescent lamps are not unique in that they contain vaporized mercury. All fluorescent lamps contain vaporized mercury. The fluorescent tubes that are probably right over your head as you're listening to this show right now contain a small amount. You're not in any danger at all as long as that bulb remains intact. It's only when the bulb breaks and releases vapor that mercury enters the building or your home. The way that you dispose of them to make sure that that mercury does not end up in a landfill is to dispose of them at your local municipal hazard waste facility. If you're in a rural county, you probably have a hazardous waste pickup day, or you may actually, if you live in one of the more urban areas, actually have a dedicated facility that can take that. Aaron, I don't know if you can speak to any internet resources
or not. Yes, she can. She's throwing up her fingers and telling me that there are four of them
in
Charlotte. There you go, Aaron.
There are. We do have four centrally located throughout Mecklenburg County recycling stations, which are also accepting household hazardous waste, and Mecklenburg County operates those.
Dried paint cans?
Exactly.
That sort of thing. But but the point is, Sterling, don't bust the bulbs themselves, the burned out bulbs yourself.
Yeah, you should never, you should never break any fluorescent tube, not just a compact fluorescent lamp that you might have in your home. If you're in a business place and people are throwing out fluorescent tubes and you see them, busting them on the side of a dumpster, you might want to say something. They should always remain intact and they should always be disposed of correctly.
Fantastic. Let's go to the phone lines again. We've got a lot of phone calls. Nathan,
hi.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you. I'm originally from Los Angeles, and there you don't even have to separate your trash because they assume that everything is recyclable.
Yeah.
And I wind up with two red containers worth of recyclables to put out at my curb, and I'm wondering why, since the plastic is exactly the same and the foam is exactly the same, that they choose not to, in Charlotte, recycle these food containers and pizza boxes simply because they're afraid that there's going to be some little amount of food waste on those products. These products can absolutely be recycled.
Okay,
And the city of Charlotte chooses not to.
Yeah, good point, because Lisa Circle was just talking a few minutes ago about the food containers that the restaurants give you for takeaway or whatever.
And I think the trouble there is that some of the food containers are ones that can be recycled, the number one recyclable container, and some are sixes or sevens. And so it's just too hard for the people to go through and sort, okay, is this a one? Is this a six? Is this a seven? As far as the pizza boxes go, if they have the grease from the pizza on them, it makes the paper fibers too heavy and they can't be fluffed up and recycled. So that's the reason. But go ahead and definitely recycle your cardboard boxes, your cereal boxes, your yellow pages, your white pages, all those things that are allowed. Go ahead and do those.
Hope that helps, Nathan. John in Charlotte is calling in now. John, thanks for holding.
Yeah, am I on there?
Yes, you are.
Oh, sorry. I'm just curious. I travel for a living, and I'm in Europe a good bit. And I've been seeing all of these things that you're talking about there for at least two decades. Why does it take us here in the U.S. so long to catch on to just what is common sense of conservation? I've been using low-flow toilets in hotels in Europe for at least 15 years.
And when you go to the Caribbean, you see cisterns, water cisterns everywhere. The rest of the world does a lot better job, quite frankly, than we do sometimes at conserving natural resources.
I think the answer is right here in our face, and we've all seen it during the drought.
Right.
The rest of the world is forced to conserve because of resource scarcity. Now that we're in a similar situation here in the Carolinas, we're in the exact same place, finding ourselves moving into the exact same place that a lot of the rest of the world has been in for decades.
John, we can still learn quite a bit, can we not, from the Europeans, for example?
Absolutely. You know, I was just in a hotel in uptown Charlotte last week, in a big hotel near the convention center, and hallways where the, you know, the conference rooms are and such had lamps on them, and they all had incandescent bulbs in them. They're turned on in the middle of the day on a Sunday with no one using those rooms. I thought to myself, well, why couldn't they replace all these with CFLs?
Mm.
It's just a little stuff.
Or
like
better
that.
Yet, just cut them off.
Yeah.
Just curious.
Yeah, fantastic. John, thanks for the phone call. Sterling, I do want, you just said, just cut it off. There's a favorite topic of yours called phantom load. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that term?
Any electric appliance that's plugged into the wall draws load. Load being, you know, just electric, a current to that particular appliance. So, for example, your TV, which you're probably not using at 2 o'clock in the morning and you know, unless you're, you know, a night owl. If it's still plugged in, it's drawing electricity. Now, there's, you know, issues with unplugging certain types of electronic appliances, obviously, particularly ones that have digital LCD clocks, your microwave and so forth. But your coffee pot, there's no reason for that to stay plugged in. Your toaster oven, same thing. And where it's possible to do that, you can be making a difference. The Utilities Commission in the state of California did a recent study, and they estimated that around 10 to 15% of all the electric consumption in the state of California was just phantom load appliances.
Oh my gosh.
And equipment that were drawing electricity that were not in use. I would like to go back real quickly to the CFL topic, if I can, for just 30 more seconds,
please.
And point out that although, you know, it's understandable that the amount of mercury that's in CFLs or that there is mercury in CFLs and other fluorescent lamps should be a concern for protecting yourself and your family. It is a very small amount of mercury, 3 to 5 milligrams of vaporized mercury. Just to put that in context, the old glass thermometers had over 200 milligrams of liquid mercury in them. And getting back to kind of to a point that we made earlier where we talked about, you know, the economic kickback or blowback from conservation measures, and my comment that we also have to think about the environmental impacts of things that we do and how that has economic consequences. The amount of mercury emissions from the electricity that's used to power an incandescent bulb that's not replaced with a CFL more than outweighs any amount of mercury that could be released from that CFL, even if you threw it against the wall.
Oh my God!
There's actually a graphic on Change a Light NC that demonstrates that pretty clearly.
ChangeALightNC.org. Lisa, you want to?
That's
make
a website
it up?
That was produced by the Department of Pollution Prevention and Environmental Assistance in the State Energy Office.
ChangeALightNC.org.
A lot of our approximately 50% of our power here in North Carolina comes from coal-fired power plants, and those are a great source of mercury pollution. So anywhere you can save energy, you're also reducing the mercury that's in the air and in the water that goes into the fish that people eat and can cause brain damage and whatnot. Also, as far as the phantom loads thing goes, a way to get around that is to have a power strip to plug your VCR and your television into the power strip, and when you're not using them, turn it off.
Cut it off.
And then that will help stop drawing the power, because anything that has a remote light or one of those black boxes, you know, they call those energy vampires, those mm-hmm. things will keep drawing power whether or not they're turned on or not.
There is, speaking of appliances, it is very responsible to make sure that all of the appliances that we buy are Energy Star which
Energy Star rating, which will show you how efficient they are, and I believe there's a new water rating as well. But you can look for Energy Star appliances, also windows and doors. Those would be the most efficient ones you can find.
Back to the phone lines. Todd in Waynesville, North Carolina. It's not snowing up there, is it, Todd?
No, it's not.
It's kind of chilly down here. What's your question? Thanks for calling.
My question is, it seems to make some logical sense to me that well water and a septic system is a very green usage of water, since you're removing your water from your area and putting it right back into your area.
Yeah, because there are certainly plenty of rural areas, rural residences in this country that still rely upon septic systems and well water. Aaron?
Certainly, well and septic could be the right choice for you if you live in a more rural setting. One thing that I would mention, though, is if you do have a septic system, you have to make sure to maintain it, because if you don't maintain it and you have leaks or problems with your septic system, you could be really releasing a lot of pollution into the groundwater.
Does that answer your question, Todd?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic.
What's the appropriate way to maintain it?
Well, there's lots of different ways that you can do that. First of all, you want to make sure that you're not putting any bleach down or any chemicals that might be killing the natural bacteria that's in your septic system. You also could investigate some of the additives that you can use that help promote those natural bacteria that break down the waste that's in your septic system.
Fantastic. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Scott in Charlotte. Scott, your question.
I have a question about radiant heat barriers and how much of a difference they make, say, in either renovating or new construction.
Wow. Radiator heat?
Radiant heat barrier.
Yeah, okay.
A radiant heat barrier. Go ahead.
No, Sterling, I think you probably know more about it than I do. I was just going to say the only thing I've heard is that there's a concern about moisture in the south and using those, but if you can address that, go ahead.
The technology that the caller's referring to goes up around the roof of your house, and it is it's a different approach to keeping radiant heat energy out of your home than using insulation. As Lisa mentioned, there are some concerns with moisture. To make those truly effective, you have to close off the attic. Any time that you close off an unconditioned space, there is a concern with moisture as well, too. It is definitely a technology that I think anyone who's interested in should consult a professional about.
Mm. Does that take care of it, Scott?
Do they work? Do they really work, or is it just marketing?
Well, the idea is basically that they rather than place insulation basically over the ceiling of your home and keep heat from getting in that way, you put it up against the roof of the home. Actually, going back to the Charlotte Clean and Green, we're going to have a gentleman there who named Scott Sudreth, who's going to do some workshops, who can speak to that very well as well. But I definitely think that there are a number of people who work in the field of residential high performance who are a believer in radiant thermal radiant barriers for homes. It's residential is not my specific area of expertise, but I definitely think it's a technology that you could look at and that would be safe to use, as long as you're addressing the issues that Lisa was mentioning of making sure moisture is being addressed.
Scott, thanks for that question there. Here's Russ in Mooresville. Russ, thanks for calling. Russ, are you there? Russ is not there. Sterling, this question, what else do you advocate? What's your number one suggestion for people who want to go green at home?
Well, I'll speak specifically to energy, and I'll let Lisa take something else that's non-energy. I would say a programmable thermostat.
One that you can turn down.
One that you can use to set your thermostat back when you and your family are not at home.
Mm. Your thoughts?
That is... A lot of newer homes come with them, and it's simply a matter of running a program. There's no reason to heat and cool your home to a comfortable temperature for occupancy when you're not there.
Yeah.
That's a real easy one to do.
I would say have your heating and air conditioning ducts inspected Before we did our renovation, we had people come and service our heating and air conditioning, and it turned out that our ducts were actually disconnected in parts, and we had been heating and air conditioning our crawl space for 5 years. So have those inspected. Make sure it's very tight.
Fantastic. Aaron Culbert has been with us from the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Utilities Department. That was Lisa Zirkel, a green homeowner here in Charlotte. We also want to thank Sterling Bowen from Southern Energy Management joining us. Thank you all so much, and good luck and happy conservation to you all.
Thank you.
I'm Chris Clackham. I've been sitting in for Mike Collins, and you've been listening to Charlotte Talks on WFAE.